In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
So get your Bibles and let's look at Isaiah 5, the reading that the church gave us yesterday. The scripture says, "Let me sing, my beloved, the song of my friend for his vineyard." My beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it, cleared it of stones, planted it with red grapes, and in the middle he built a watchtower. He hewed a press thereto, and he expected it to yield fine grapes, but wild grapes were all that it yielded. And now, citizens of Jerusalem and people of Judah, I ask you to judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not done? Why, when I expected it to yield fine grapes, has it yielded wild ones? Hear that word today. What more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not done? That God so loved the world that he gave us his Son. What more could he do for the vineyard of the Lord than he has not done? He's given us Jesus. Jesus shed his blood for us. He's opened to us the gates of heaven. He's made us partakers of the divine nature. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's made us adopted children of the Father. What more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not done? Oh yes, and then we hear that the vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. The vineyard of the Lord. And because it did not yield good grapes, because it yielded sour grapes, the Lord was going to take down the stone walls, and the boars would come and trample upon the vines, and that he was going to stop the rain from raining upon the vineyard. Well, let me tell you this. The vineyard of the Lord is the church. Not only the house of Israel, but the church. And I want you to know that the Lord is looking for good fruit. He is looking for good fruit because, first of all, what more could I have done for my vineyard? I gave my own Son. I gave him for you, for me, for us, so that we might become God's children. What more could I have done? I remember, you know, on Good Friday, we used to have the reproaches, you know. My people, what have I done for you? In what ways have I offended you? I opened the Red Sea and I led you through. I led you through. But you've given me a crown of thorns. My people, what have I done to you? In what ways have I offended you? I gave you my very self. But you put me upon a cross. What more could the Lord have done? You see, it's not what God fails to do. It's how we fail to respond. Israel produced grapes that were sour because she was into idolatry. Because she was into the things that God had called her from. And yet she wanted to play around with those things. She wanted to be great like the nation. She wanted to be beautiful. But yet she forgot who she was. She was God's own. And that the Lord expected her to produce fruit. When we think about fruit, my friends, we think about people. We don't think about grapes. We don't think about apples. We think about people. That the Lord, in his vineyard, calls us to harvest people. To bring people into the barns of the Lord. To bring people into God's heart, into the kingdom of God. It's all about people. You see, it is my will, Jesus says, that you bear fruit and so prove to be my disciple. It is my will that you bear fruit. You see, it's not a pride to think that God wants me to bear fruit. It's not pride that God wants, I think that God wants me to bring people into the kingdom, that bring people into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not pride. It is my will, Jesus says, that you bear fruit and that your fruit would abide, would last. It is my will that you bear fruit and so prove to be my disciple. You see, we cannot be so concerned about just ourselves. We need to be concerned about the things of God. We need to be concerned about how does the Lord want to open a new door for me so that I can enter into that door to bring people through that door and bring those people to Jesus. Like, it's all about Jesus. It's all about bearing fruit. It's all about fruit bearing. And let me say this, that God is very patient. That in his patience, he waits for us. He waits for us. But there comes a time, that the scripture says that after he waters the vine, after he manures the vine, after he spends time in the vine, that he gives it up. We've not reached that place yet, but it's time for us to repent. It's time for us to repent of thinking how egocentric we are, that it's really all about me and my desires, because it's not. It's about him. When I read the Apostle Paul, and I think about him, how he suffered, and how he would go, you know, without food and without clothing and be whipped and be rejected by the Jews as well as by the Gentiles. And that he would be stoned and he would be shipwrecked. And that this was a man that only had one person in his heart. It was Jesus. He had no ambitions of his own. His ambitions died with him on the Damascus Road. Well, I'm not saying that they didn't try to resurrect. Of course they did. But I'm saying also that he would not let them resurrect. And I know that Paul was as weak as we are. I know that. That's why God used him so. You see, because in our weakness, the Lord is truly most strong. And he's looking for fruit, looking for people. You see, God is a father. As a matter of fact, he is the father, and all fatherhood comes from the father. He is the father because he has an only begotten son. From all eternity, he begets the son, the word of God, who becomes flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. His name is Jesus. From all eternity, God is the Father. And I need to know that the Father desires children. Children and more children. Not only children that are sacramentalized, but children that are evangelized, converted, brought into the light, brought into the light of Jesus. God desires children. I've got to know that. I've got to know that. That it is the desire of the Father to have more and more children. That these children would come to know him, to love him, to be with him, to serve him, and to give their whole life to his son. This is God's will. This is God's holy will. That he would regenerate children through faith and baptism. It's God's will. Not that we would write people's names in a baptismal book. Because you know what? The early church did not have baptismal books. They had people who died for Christ. I'm not against baptismal books. I'm just saying, you know what? We need more than to put people's names in books. We need to have disciples that will follow Jesus, that will go after other people and speak a word of love and truth to them so that they too might come to know him as Jesus the Lord, as Jesus the Savior, as Jesus the Healer, as Jesus the Mercy Seat. You see, it's God's will. It's God's will that you would produce fruit. It is not God's will that you would be barren. That is not the will of the Lord. God's will is that you should produce fruit. Each one of you. You say, but how? There's something for everyone. That's why we need to seek the face of God. There's something for everyone that the Lord has gifted us in some area so that we would obtain fruit, people, and bring them into the kingdom of God, into the barns, into the church. There's something that each of us can do. Of course, pray. Of course, pray. But you see, if you've got the gift of listening to people, and people tell you their problems, I'm going to tell you, then you can lead that person to Jesus. If they're telling you their problems, and they're heart sick, and they're in the agony, you could always say, you know, I heard what you said, but I know someone that can, from the inside, give you what you are looking for. And his name is Jesus. And then you just lead them in a prayer. You put your hand on them and say, pray with me, Jesus. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. I need you to be Jesus to me. Jesus, be Jesus to me. Be Savior to me. Love me with more love than I've ever had. I started to use that prayer. You know, love me with more love than I've ever had. When I have people in the office. Just love me with more love than I've ever had. And you know, it's just so wonderful that that love breaks through. That love that is beyond words. That experience of his love that is beyond knowledge. That presence of God that changes lives. Love me with more love than I've ever had. Because I'm desperate. You see, I'm going to tell you, I've been desperate all my life. I've been desperate all my life. I don't need an economic crisis to make me desperate. I've been desperate all my life. Desperate for Jesus Christ. That's just the way it is. My desperation has led me to him and to him alone. And that's real. That's real. And I'm proud of being desperate. You know why? Because everyone else is desperate too. I just come out and say it. I'm desperate for the Lord. If he would back up for me, I'd just be like burnt toast. I wouldn't be able to function. I'm desperate, man. I'm the person on the street in the Good Samaritan that's been beaten up. Oh, yeah, and left to die. That's who I am. And thank God he comes. Thank God he comes. And he holds me and he takes me into his arms. Thank God. You see, you can't be the Good Samaritan unless you're the man on the street or the woman on the street that Jesus comes to pick up and hold you and heal you and pour wine and oil into your wounds. You can't be the Good Samaritan unless you know you're a beaten man, a beaten woman, in total need of this Savior. Then you can do what Jesus says, go and do likewise. But I really know you've got to be that man on the street, left to die, rejected, scorned. You know, identifying with Jesus on the cross is very easy, you know. Not to the degree that Jesus suffered, because No one will ever suffer the way Jesus suffered. He suffered for all humanity. Not only did he endure the nails and the thorns and the spear, our Lord Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world. He drew every human being into his broken heart. He said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. But you know what? Let me say this. As we identify with Jesus, even a little, then we identify with every person. Because every person is desperate. Every person. Some people know it and some people are living in denial. And when that desperation comes to the surface, and when people begin to pour out their anguish upon you, then you can lead them to him. Say, you know, you told me all these things, and I know someone that wants to help you from within. His name is Jesus, and he wants to be Jesus to you. The Lord is looking for fruit. He's not looking for a big organization. He's looking for a body that will care for people in his name. He's not looking for a big machine. He's looking for people who will look after the welfare of other people. So much so that they would lead them to him. You know, one of the things we pray for every single Sunday at our church, we pray for all the people who have ever come to Holy Rosary. All the people who now come, who did come, and who will come. That's what we pray for. A lot of people left. We pray for them every week. But we also pray for the people who do come. But then we pray for the people who will come. Because God will lead people. He will lead people. And so we want to start praying for them now. So that when they come, they will be cared for. They will be loved. Already, they've been prayed for. We had a woman come last Saturday. It's very interesting. We prayed with four women with cancer last week on Saturday evening. We pray for healing every Saturday evening after the 5:30 Mass. And there were four women with cancer. And one woman, Jody, who's really done very well, she's a young woman. And she's really, really done very well since we started praying with her. And she also took a stroke. She's had tumors in the brain. And we had her walking, really walking rapidly the other night. And then there was another woman who has pancreatic cancer, and at least the pain stopped as we prayed with her. Then there was a third woman. She had never come before. And Father Joshi had prayed with her way before I did, and he said the poor woman was so scared and wobbly and fearful and all this stuff. And I could imagine, you know, it must be terrible. So finally, you know, it was my turn to pray with her, and I just knew she was afraid, and I asked where the cancer was, and she said in her breast and in her breastbone, and I said, so I just want to tell you a couple of things, okay? First thing I want to tell you is, you do what the doctors tell you to do, but don't believe them. If they told you you've got 3 months to live, you know what? They're not God. MD stands for medical doctor and not minor divinity, okay? So, don't listen to times and places when they say you're going to die. Don't even listen to them, because that's a lie. We've got people that should have been dead years ago, and they're still very much alive without cancer. But I said, listen, that's the first thing. I said, the second thing, I said, I know my adversary, the devil. I said, I'm sure you've already seen your funeral. I'm sure he's portrayed your funeral in Technicolor and in CinemaScope in your brain. And you've seen it happen. I said, he's a liar. He's a liar. You can't let that be, because he's a liar. Now, I'm going to tell you about some of the people who got healed of cancer. And I did. I told some of the people. I said, now we're going to pray with you. And we did. She was in severe pain, and the pain stopped. And she got so much hope. She left that church a different one. Why? Because she received hope. But not a hope that was false, but a hope that's rooted in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. A hope that's rooted in the person of the risen Lord. See, come back, I said. Come back. You need to come back. And we'll pray with you every time you come back. That Jesus is there for them. That he's not there sitting on a rocking chair way up in the sky, but he's involved in their pain. He took it on when he died on the cross. The only thing we do is we can keep on telling people how big he is. And we extend ourselves, we extend our love. That's all we can do. The rest is up to him. The rest is up to him. I think the church should be, you know, there's all these models of the church. You know, the church is institution, the church is prophet, the church is this, the church is that. I think we should have the model, the church is hospital, where people come, mind, body, and spirit, to be touched by the healer, to be touched by the Lord, to be healed from the inside out. The church is hospital, where people come with their broken dreams and their broken hearts, where they can experience a drop of heaven in the presence of God. Church is hospital. Not hospice, getting them ready to die. But sometimes we do that too. Sometimes we do that. We've prayed for so many. And some of them, we got ready for heaven. Others got healed, and they go about like light. But you see, it's not our doing. We just pray. We just care. We just extend the love of Jesus to people. That's all we can do. And we let him do the rest. Because he's the Lord. Hope is something that most people don't have anymore. If you're hoping on change in the next election, you're going to be very disappointed. If you're hoping that somebody's going to come in to be our president, to be our savior, you're going to be very disappointed. There's only one savior, and neither candidate is the one. If your hope is in what's going to happen in the next 4 years, you're very foolish. I say you've got to learn to live without. Because in the next couple of years, we are going to be shaken as a society. You better learn how to live without. Because we've been the generation that's raised on bonbons. We've had everything. That's why keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Produce fruit. Fruit that endures. When's the last time you brought someone to him? And him to someone? When's the last time? When's the last time you witnessed and told your story to somebody? When's the last time? It's time to do it today. Time to do it today. You pray, Lord, send me one person. Open a door into one person's heart. Send me one that I might be able to share with them. That I might be able to love them. That I might be able to pray with them. And listen, they might not be the person that you're thinking. No matter who he sends, you treat them with dignity and kindness and love. You treat them as if it were Jesus himself. You see, he planted a vineyard, and he expects fruit from the vineyard. He doesn't expect thorns and thistles. He expects people would come to know him, love him, and serve him, and be with him. He expects companions, people who will eat bread with him. That's what it means, companions. He expects that God, he expects that we would do his will in the world. He expects fruit that would endure. And he says, if you abide in me and my word abides in me, you can ask anything from the Father, it will be done to you. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides in me will produce fruit, and fruit that will last. It is my Father's will that you produce fruit, and so prove to be my disciple. Yeah, Israel fails. Guess what? God gave them up for a while. But you know what? We are no better as the church. When I read the book of Revelation, there are seven churches that were bastions of Christianity. And Jesus Christ spoke to those seven churches, and he told them what they needed to do. And if they didn't do it, he would blow out the candle.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.